Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Oh my gosh, you people are back. I got to get back to the kitchen, get my grits warmed up because they're going to need kissing. Oh, come on. Flo, can't you? We everything about this place is so nice except your attitude. You're just always so grouchy. Hey, listeners, we're back with another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. I'm Jeff Johnson with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
We are again on location. That Flo is getting into my voice, getting in my head. We're on location at the Topic Buffet to talk about some more topics y'all.
Look at you. All y'all
have thrown out there for us, and we got three more that we're gonna wrap up together in this episode. So, what do we have first on the list?
Ideas for communicating with parents.
Well, talking.
face-to-face.
Talking is a big thing.
Talking is a big one. Communicating with parents, I think there's room for emails, texting, newsy notes, communication boards, newsletters.
But I'm guessing the problem here is that they try that stuff and it doesn't work. We always have this experience. You put stuff in you leave stuff in the cubby or put it in the backpack, and then it never gets dealt with, and they never see the stuff. And the reality is, I mean, parents are generally busy. They're trying to work or they're going to school or whatever, and they're zinging in and out of the programs. And so sometimes real communication requires some sort of connection, and we don't always have structures that allow for that.
That's true. I'm not sure if they meant like actual suggestions on ways to communicate to parents or how do you communicate with parent, like your philosophy or your policy. You know what I'm saying?
How do you help them get it?
I'm not really sure where.
Well, we can break both of those down, I guess. So all those sources. I personally prefer the face-to-face. It can be a lot more
scary
than the telephone sometimes, because it's just there's an intimidation factor there sometimes, but depending on the parent. But I really, as a guy, I never really felt much of that.
That what?
That intimidation, that scariness, that uncomfort about it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a guy thing or if it's a me thing. But
well, you're really good at establishing relationships. And again, like 99,000 times we've always talked about this or already have talked about this. But the relationships that you are nurturing and deepening with these folks, that's gonna make anything easier. I mean, some topics are hard to talk about.
Yeah.
But if you have some kind of connection with the person, I'm of the belief of owning it, right? So, hey, I've got something that's kind of uncomfortable that we do need to have a discussion about. Own it.
Yeah.
It's going to help you be more comfortable.
Yeah, and I mean, we had communication fails back in our caregiver day. We had one little guy who, I mean, there were some developmental delays going on. And I mean, the Spidey senses were tingling. Mm-hmm. And we tried over and over to have real conversations with these parents, and they just shut down to it because you don't want to hear that. And what they, I mean, instead of dealing with it, what they ended up doing was getting divorced and moving out of town, which may or may not have been a good way of dealing with it, I guess. But the situation kind of just left us. And but it's tough. But you know, whether you're communicating in person or via email or whatever, like Lisa said, that relationship, that foundation there can be a big and valuable thing. So how do we build that?
Well, I think that starts at the time.
Honey, I'm going to need you to get your flippity flops off the back of that chair, please.
Well, sorry, my God, I was just feeling so relaxed.
Man, she's such a bitch.
God.
Before Flo interrupts you, what were you saying?
Well, it actually led into that. I was going to say I would talk about the other side of the communicating with parents, but it starts. I think that the relationship starts as soon as they walk in the door, whether they enroll or whether they take a tour or whether they come in and out and walk away. I mean, it starts that first impression, right? So the way I communicated with parents, not the list of suggestions, but the how do I let them know what we do here? How do I get that across to them? How do I help them understand it or get it? I mean, it's in the handbook. I mean, it's right there. I do not sell that which we do not deliver. It spells it out right there. They're on the tour. They see it, you know, very much consistent with this is what I'm saying we're doing here, and this is actually what we're actually doing here, and it's all spelled out for you. So if you know at first glance that this is not going to be a good fit, then let me help you find a place that's going to be a good fit, right? Because I'm not going to adjust or not adjust. That's not the right word. I'm not going to not do what I know needs to happen here in the name of best practice just because, right? So I've spelled it out. This is what we do here. We're play-based. We're hands-on. We're child-centered. This is what I say. This is what we do. This is how we do it.
So one of the keys to communication is doing what it says in the handbook.
And having a handbook.
And having that and being consistent between what's in print and what's
in
practice.
And having articulated that, right? So you and your staff, whether you're owner or a teacher there, it doesn't matter. But is it clearly stated or is everybody all over the map?
Yeah, because, I mean, communication needs to be some consistency there for it to stick. And so if we are saying one thing and practicing another, it's going to be confusing for everybody. And when they have those expectations at the very beginning, as things go down, as you move down the road, it just gets easier. And I hear all the time from, you know, the messy place, the big thing, well, the parents they can't get dirty. And I said, well, maybe you need to have that in your policy.
Right.
And what we do. So,
well, then what's the problem?
If it's in the policy and you explained it to them when you enrolled them, then why are you still having a problem? If they're violating the policy, kick them out of the program.
Right.
Move on.
Well, this leads into one of the other topics on the buffet, which is parent pleasing. You know, and I think the struggle that people have when they think that they're having to please the parents only occurs because something is disconnected. Either you've told them what you don't actually do is what you do, or vice versa. Or you're inconsistent in your handbook, or you've got four teachers doing four different things under one roof, right? So it's wishy-washy, but you've set it up to have to be wishy-washy because you're having to, like, if you've sold a bill of goods that is not actually what you expect to deliver, you are going to be at the mercy of having to please that individual parent all the time.
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot in programs, specifically for economic reasons, I think. Mm-hmm. They enroll families that don't fit because they
Bottom
need
line.
A family
yeah.
enrolled to keep the doors open, whatever it is, and then they saddle themselves with those problems as time goes by. Mm-hmm. So it all goes back to that initial connection. Now, how did you do parent orientation?
Well, when they would first walk in, right, and I would, you know, try and figure out, do you just want a tour? You need some information, or have you heard of us? Are you ready to enroll? What do you want? You know, and so we'd give them the tour, and then there would be a parent handbook, and we would essentially interview each other. We'd go through it, and it was never from a place of insulting or like, you know, I mean. I know you can read this, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to read it together, and we're going to pause and see if you have any questions because I'm going to have you sign every page. And then there was a back to school night where I would kind of tell a little bit of the Mary story, the my first day of school story. I would talk about the seven things and the foundation that supports the house of higher learning. And, you know, I would ask them for keys to the house and the keys to their car. So, I mean, that level of trust was at least attempted to be established right away, and open door policy, and then we went on with the day.
Yeah, I think we would do the one-to-one orientation with parents. I think if I was doing it again, I think I would do it as a group over a meal, because I think when it comes to establishing relationships, I think we're still wired with 10,000-year-old brains, and the way we built relationships back when we were hunter-gatherers was you sat around, you shared food around a campfire and conversed. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. So you sit down with food and beverages, and you have real conversations.
And we did both, and I found that worked.
Yeah, and I think that takes you away from the institutional feel. I mean, even if you're not an institutional feel program, it makes it a personal thing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot to be said there for that kind of
And it also starts them starting to be able to network with each other, right? So it's not just a relationship between me and the clients, but between the clients themselves and families. And, you know, that's, I think, just as important. And the staff, you know, getting to know them outside of what I do from, you know, six to six.
Yeah. And so parent-pleasing was the other one?
Parent-pleasing was that one.
I wanted more parent-pleasing. I always struggle with this. Is our job pleasing the children? Is our job pleasing the parents? Is our job pleasing the licensors? Is our job who?
I think it depends on what we're actually going to define as pleasing. You know, is it meeting the needs? Is it kowtowing down? I never say that right. Is it kowtowing? How is it kowtowing when you're like bending over, you know, and doing it even though you know you're not supposed to do it just to shut them up, you know, that kind of stuff, or giving up your power?
I know it's an all-you-care-to-eat buffet, but how long are you people going to be here?
Well, you know what? I'm on a roll.
Flo really isn't kowtowing to us, is she?
She's not.
Man, Flo, jeez. We're going to be here. You know how long we're going to be here? We're going to be here until your shift is over so we don't feel obligated to leave you a tip because you're just being a pain in our butt.
Just gonna sit here and just drink one cup of coffee for the rest of your shift,
and not one cup each. We're sharing it.
Oh my god, I remember those.
Flo, I need one more cup of coffee, a box of sugar cubes, and three straws, please. I'm sorry for that interruption.
Oh, no worries. But I think it depends on what we're calling that. I mean, my job is in essence to serve. I mean, we're in a service-based industry, but to compromise and sacrifice what I know to be best practice in order to meet somebody's irrational expectation, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about getting nipped in the bud, right? So I'm not going to do that. Now, early in my career, you know, we probably did, and everybody's walking around eggshells around that one or two mamas. And the thing that I've learned with a little bit of age is wisdom, right, is the minute you start changing your policies and your expectations to meet the needs of that one person, you start realizing that they're never satisfied, right? So now I've compromised the integrity of my program because I think now it's going to shut you up. Forgive me, but that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah.
But then there's something else. And then there's something else. And before you know it, you've given up everything in an effort to make somebody happy who is constantly looking for something to complain about in the first place. So we
try to nip it in the bud with orientation to assuming that if we get them well oriented to the program, they are going to be pleased.
Exactly. Because if you're not, then this isn't
the program for you.
And then they don't
enroll their child, or we don't allow them to enroll. After that, as life goes on, because sometimes, you know, we've done it with hiring staff, we've done it with parents. Sometimes the person that shows up for the interview isn't the person you end up dealing with on
true.
A daily
yes,
basis.
True.
And so when that person that's never pleased shows up, you can try communicating all you want. But when you reach the point where the communication has failed and they are still not pleased, it is time to sit down and have that hard conversation about whether you are going to live with it, make a change, or close your business and go do something else. And so you can either live with them not being pleased and all the ramifications of that. You can make a change, which may be sitting them down and telling them, hey, you got 2 days to straighten up or you're out of here, or just letting them go. Or, you know, if it's that serious, just go work at McDonald's. I mean, really, those are three choices. And so there are those choices. But then there are those parents that, because of life situations, sometimes at certain points in their child's time with a program may need a little bit more from us in terms of understanding and support. And I'm thinking of, you know, marriages or relationships breaking up. And I'm thinking of new children being born.
And losing jobs.
And losing jobs. And
life changes. changes.
Yeah, and that can be, I think we need to build in some understanding for that kind of stuff into our policies and ways of dealing. So
that was actually a real big emphasis in the master's program, was that reminder of the system that the kid comes with. You know, it's not just it's not okay to just be good with the kid. You know, you got to be flexible and accommodating, but there's a fine line between flexible and accommodating and being empathetic and making an exception to the rule. You know, I mean, I a couple of times there was a parents that were like, we have no money for the next little bit of time, but we need childcare. Okay, well, you know, I'm not going to go advertise that I'm willing to start bartering, but you know, I got some stuff needs fixing. I got a sandbox needs mending, you know, and let's, you know, figure it out. Right. And you're able to do that because you're relating with them as from on a human to human level, not always a business client owner.
Yeah,
level.
And I think that's what makes this job so tricky.
Yep.
Is that there is that business component of it, but it is also so deeply rooted in those human to human relationships.
And it's not, it doesn't always fit in the handbook. And,
yeah.
And nor do you want to have a handbook that attempts to capture every single possible nuance. You know, if the overarching goal is always the relationships, you know, there's always going to need to be something that you have to have a conversation about.
Yeah, yeah. And if you try to capture everything, you end up with a
400-page handbook,
there's still stuff that happens.
But I think when you're compromising what you are saying that you're, when you start compromising consistently what you say you believe in order to keep one particular parent happy, I would say that you've probably entered the parent pleasing realm.
Yeah, and the another piece of that is when you start doing things to keep that one particular parent happy, it's going to have some sort of impact on other families and their expectations. Or the service you're delivering to them might change, and so it can throw everything else out of whack,
yep.
And that can become a problem. So it's a tough, tricky thing. And I think another piece of it is most people don't get into this profession to deal with adults.
Yeah, they don't.
And
so you have to bone up those skills.
Yeah, and we don't make it clear. We're not effective at making it clear at the beginning that that's a huge part of it.
That was a late in the game kind of aha that I had. You know, you kind of theoretically know that your job is to deal with all of it, but it really wasn't until 2 years ago during that one class that I was like, you know what? I think we're a little guilty of just kind of catering to the kid and turning a blind eye, not mean or maliciously, but kind of forgetting that they come with a whole package.
Yeah, yeah.
And some days it's a little more stressful or messy than the other days.
And I really see this in like elementary school settings where they talk a good game about wanting parent involvement. and then the
parent shows up.
Yeah, and the physicality of trying to be a parent visiting the school or volunteering something or getting engaged with the classroom is just roadblocks one after another. So
we say we want something and then when we get it we go whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, it's tough, and that's something, I mean, we always, it was something that was always a battle. Mm-hmm. And I felt I was halfway decent at it most of the time, but still wish I would have been better.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah.
The last one.
What do you got
for the buffet is
here Flo's coming back this way.
Is she? Should we be quiet?
No, I don't. Maybe she'll just walk by.
Maybe I'll sip my coffee.
Here, give me. Okay, she's. I don't know what she's gonna do. Look at her. Look at she's.
Look at her shoes.
I know.
Are those wedge flip flops?
Oh, they're like hush puppies you wanted, and you better pucker up, boy, because these grits ain't gonna kiss themselves.
Wow.
Hey, Flo, why don't you take your orthopedic flip flops and leave us alone for a little bit? We're gonna be wrapping up the show, and we'll get out of your hair pretty soon.
I don't know. That's a lot of hair to have to get out of.
she's like Captain Caveman pulling all kinds of stuff out of that beehive.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Captain K. Yeah. Pulling that T-Rex out of his hair. That's a good time. What was the last one we have?
It's a biggie. Brrr. UPK.
UP who?
Universal Pre-K.
Hey, Alabama K. Lisa just said UPK.
UPK, comma, high K.
That's a joke for K.
So universal pre-K, UPK, which is essentially turning the year before kindergarten into a grade, which my personal Lisa Murphy take on that is that, you know, we've now hijacked We've hijacked preschool as a new entry point to a dysfunctional system. And that bugs me a little bit. But, you know, you start following the money, right? So if we're going to turn pre-K into a grade and make it mandatory for people to have to do that, let's at least make sure that it is developmentally appropriate. The issue is that most UPKs look like watered down second grade, and we've beat this horse into the ground. So am I for it? Am I against it? You know, I'm for a lot of things that happen to be executed poorly, right? So that becomes then my issue, is the execution of the concept.
Yeah, I'm hearing more and more about 2 years of...
Yeah, they call it baby K.
It's like
P1, P2, P3, P4.
And so they're turning... I mean, really, it's getting pushed down to that.
It's like childcare. It's like infant room.
Your 3 and 4 are becoming kindergarten prep, and they're becoming grades of their own.
It becomes a money game, right?
Oh, it is a money game. It's a power and control game too. I am 100% against state mandated universal pre-K programs because, well, the intentions may be good, the implementation and measurement of the systems are ineffective. I haven't come across a place that they do it well, and I think the more that we allow government to be involved on a daily basis in controlling the lives of our children, the more screwed up things get. They do not do good with elementary school, middle school, and high school, and they are not going to do good with this when we start putting these programs, especially under the auspices of the local school districts.
So you said mandated. Are any of them mandated?
I don't.
Or is
I
it
mean,
just it's free?
Well,
that's
well,
been yeah, some of the issue yeah. is that it's free, right. And so people put
or
their kid in
it
because it's free, but. And then the other
but
thing,
but it's not free.
But it's well, nothing's free.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it was tricky to me when you said that because it made my brain start going. Well, are there areas where it's actually mandatory? Like, but then how would that work? Like, if kindergarten isn't mandatory in some states, right? So how could you make pre-K mandatory? But then they could leave for kindergarten, but then come back again for first grade. You know what? I think some of this goes back to adults being responsible for knowing what the actual requirements are.
And you're right. It probably goes back to me being. Eager to rant, and so
No.
I probably am off, and it probably is voluntary,
but you know what? A lot of people
in
see
practice,
this as important
yeah.
because they don't know. I mean, how many times have we gone and done a gig where you talk about the only, you know, like what we just said about kindergarten, right? The only mandatory thing is a birthday, right?
Yeah.
How many parents have looked at me and gone, "You mean my kid doesn't have to go to kindergarten?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, how come you didn't know that?"
Yeah.
But you don't know what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
if it's actually mandatory, then you need to make that kind of choice, right? Whether you're going to subscribe to it or you're not. If it, in fact, it is not, I would totally give you permission to say what is going to be offered here that somehow trumps or does it better than what I could be doing over here or what my current family child care provider is doing here. I mean, we all heard that. We all suffered from that. People would pull their children out of our program uh-huh. for that 3-4-year-old year to get them ready for going to kindergarten. And then they'd come back 3 months later because their kids
hated it. Yeah. Yeah.
And what are they doing that we weren't doing?
Yeah. I guess what I really want to rant against is any statewide early learning program whatsoever because
they don't do it well.
They don't do it well, period. And I know there might be some good, I know for a fact there are some good people working in those programs, either as coordinators or administrators or directors or as on the ground staff
yeah.
and even as administrators. But the systems, good intention systems, we're just bad at implementation, and our school systems dropout rates are as high as they've ever been. The test scores nationally and internationally haven't gone up for U.S. students for as long as the Federal Department of Education has existed, and so all this money we're throwing money all over the place, and we're not having
any, we have no evidence
we're not
that causing
we're not works. Causing any effect except giving money to big publishers like Pearson's and all the rest of the educational the rest of the educational industrial complex. I say run away from it.
Run away.
Yes.
Run away.
That's a little bit of a rant.
Well, it is a rant, and I used to jump on that rant as well when I owned my center because people were like, "Well, why don't you have a UPK program within your school?" And I'm like, "Well, why would I do that? I got to perfectly developmentally appropriate program happening right here. And it was always money. Well, can't you use the money? Don't you want to use the money? And I'm like, it's blood money.
Yes.
If you're going to expect me to run a program within a program when I've got a perfectly good program going on right here, why would I do that? It sends so many mixed messages.
Yeah.
I don't want your money.
We shouldn't be whoring our programs out for a couple
bucks.
Thank
you.
And I think, you know, I said mandatory earlier, and I got to go back to that because I think in my mind, that's where it always goes. Mm. Something comes in as a voluntary thing.
Like
and,
the QRS
well,
systems.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They start, oh, it's voluntary. And then they, and then over time, it's,
before you know it,
it's incrementalism is what it is.
It's turning up the heat in the lobster pot.
Yeah. And so that's, if that's not where we're at, it's where we're headed. Because there is a contingent of people out there who want nothing more than to control people and turn them into those sheeple that
into a robot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Flo is probably for it. I think that's enough ranting for me today. We got anything else
good.
on these three? We got
that,
anything else
that
to
was,
say?
That, I'm good with this. I was two trips to the buffet. That worked for me.
Oh man, I'm
stuffed. I'm stuffed.
Hey, need a nap.
Hey, this has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson with Lisa Murphy and Tasha Johnson, and we'll be back Monday with another episode. Bye-bye.
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 Hey, Flo, we're going to be leaving in a minute. Could you come over here and rub my belly for a bit? Aw, you, give me that belly. Flo. Hey, Flo. Okay, that feels good.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed, feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
Okay, we're starting a revolution, a play revolution, a playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there.
Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.